So Revelation 1, 5, and 6, it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and he has made us, he made us kings. Are there any kings here today? He made us kings and priests unto the Most High God. Glory. So that he did that, why? He did that so that there might be glory and dominion and praise to him forever and ever. Amen. So we talked about washed. Talked about this over the Easter season. And, you know, we had 534 people here last week. That was a good group, eh? That's the biggest group we've had so far. So that was good. So keep bringing your friends, please. Some people thought I came a couple times last week. I'll take today off. You thank God that Jesus is always available to you. No condemnation or anything, but praise Jesus. Romans 4:25. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. Was he crucified?
Yes.
Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Was he crucified?
Yes.
Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Yes. And he was raised back to life to prove, say prove.
Prove.
He was raised back to life to prove that he made us right with God. Is Jesus risen?
Yes.
Are you right with God? Absolutely. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. You can't add a thing to it. If you added, I mean, Galatians says, if you add anything to the gospel, you empty it of its power. So you can't add anything to it. It's all him. And you just get to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So he's a good, good God. John Crowder. I like John. He said, sin induced separation is real to us. You got to make that emphasis there. That's why I put the big yellow letters there. To us. See, the thing is, it's really not real. But it seems real to us because we are enemies in our mind. Our minds, the delusion, the brokenness that happened because of the fall with Adam and Eve. It was something that happened to our heads. Nothing happened to God, but something happened to us. And that whole separation thing, it seems real to us, but it is itself the delusion that continues to fuel our darkness. Jesus did not pay off God by dying for our sins. Nobody owed anything to God. We didn't have to pay off God. We didn't have to pay off the devil. We had to have absolute victory over sin and death and the devil. We had to win a complete victory. Nobody had to, you know, justice. As I've always said, justice is not somebody paying a price. Justice is love removing everything from the scene that is not love. Justice comes in and obliterates every single obstacle between you and God. He became our sin and he brought it to death in order to liberate us from sin and death. Jesus wasn't changing God, he was changing you. It wasn't like Jesus died for your sins, but he is God. He is God. It was God who did that, and God did all of that so that he could affect us and change the brokenness that came into us. So now we're going to deal with something today very important. I had about 500 slides. I tried to reduce them to about 40, and so I'm going to do my best to teach this. Hopefully, it is actually a sermon.
That'd be great.
Amen. So Hebrews chapter 9, this is the big, big difference. This is the massive difference between the old covenant, the blood of goats and bulls, and why this new covenant is so radically different. As I said in Good Friday, like Jesus wasn't just a throat slit and pour out some blood. It wasn't like a nice little humane, you know, let's slay the lamb, let the blood out. And I mean, he was viciously tortured and beaten and violently attacked. And it was all essential to your deliverance. Because by his bruises, by his stripes, every single wound, it speaks for you. And because he took in his body every bit of brokenness, you have access to God. You have health, healing, power, and life. And that's good news. But there's something about the blood, something about the blood. By this, what he's saying is by this, the Hebrew writer, he said, by this, the Holy Spirit points out that the way to the true Holy of Holies is not yet thrown open. It's not even revealed as long as the former outer portion is standing. So he's saying there is the old system. There was the old way that was a type and it was an image. But if it's still standing, if that still stands, if that is still the institution that we're leaning on to be reconciled to God, then the very way to his glory, the way to being right with God isn't even revealed if we still recognize that as a viable institution. Do you understand me?
Yes.
He said, as long as that's still standing, if the outer portion still remains as a recognized institution, the way is not open to the presence of God. Seeing that the first outer portion of the tabernacle was a parable, it was an image, it was a type of us, it was a type of our world, it was a type of our flesh, our soul, our emotions, and our spirit. It was a type of the tripart being of a man. It was a parable, a visible symbol, a type or a picture of the present age. In it, gifts and sacrifice were offered, and yet blood was shed and blood was put on the mercy seat, and yet it was incapable, it had no power of perfecting the conscience. See, that blood was shed, but it did not penetrate to the real issue of mankind. It was a covering. It was a symbol of something to come, but it did not have the ability to penetrate to the place of your inner man and deal with you in the level of conscience. Say conscience. So there's something happened here with the blood. What other blood, what the blood of animals, what the system could not do and would not do, was powerless to do, was to affect you and to deliver you and to reach right into the realm of your conscience. There was no cleansing or renewing of the inner man, no cleansing or renewal of the worshiper. Then in the same chapter at verse 14, he says, now how much more the blood of Christ, say the blood of Christ. How much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, by the Spirit, the Spirit who was with him, partnered, and he offered himself without spot to God. How much more will the blood of God cleanse your conscience? Cleanse your conscience. Cleanse your conscience. The blood of God will penetrate to your inner man. The blood of God will deal with your conscience and will deliver you from dead works to serve the living God. It is a good word. It's a very good word because you need help in that area. We need to understand this. Definitions, all right? Definitions are everything. This is just from the dictionary. Conscience. Conscience is an inner faculty that judges the moral quality of one's motives and actions, acting as a sense of right and wrong. Now, that's the dictionary. That's the English written dictionary. The etymology of the word is derived from the Latin conscientia, which is joint knowledge. It's sharing knowledge. It's knowledge coming from and shared with another source. It suggests sharing knowledge with oneself. It acts as an eternalized moral compass. So those are worldly definitions of conscience. Literal meaning, with knowledge. It's two words. It's a compound word. It's with science, with knowledge, or knowledge shared within oneself. The Greek word, which is used here in the passage I read, is sunidesis. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's the word. And it literally means together or shared knowledge. So your conscience is a place where knowledge is shared. Your conscience is a place of shared knowledge. Conscience, the inner agreement system. This is getting more biblical now. The inner agreement system, the lens through which you interpret God, yourself, and reality. The inner agreement system, the place where you interpret God, yourself, and reality. The place where truth or lies become normal. It's a place where truth or lies become normal. So you tell some people, well, follow your conscience. Well, that's a bad thing for some people, because their conscience is broken, because they're sharing knowledge with the wrong person. They're sharing knowledge from the wrong source. Hello. You know why it's not okay to sleep with my neighbor's wife? Because Cheryl would kill me. She told me that. She shared that knowledge with me. So that shared knowledge is my conscience. It's really not. She's never told me that. Cheryl has never told me to look straight ahead. She's never told me to don't look at that woman. She's never tried to correct me in any one of those ways. It's not her job. She doesn't feel called to do it. She doesn't hold my passwords, doesn't have anything. She doesn't try to judge me in any one of those areas. Says, you're a big boy. Figure it out. But you know what? My shared knowledge is with God. And you see, because I have shared knowledge with God about that, I love people. And if you love other people, you would not violate them, sin against them, or cause any damage to anyone. When you have shared knowledge and it's right with God, that other stuff doesn't even register and it doesn't show up. Hello. The question is, Who are you sharing knowledge with? The place where truth or lies become normal. You don't live from behavior. You live from what you are convinced is true. Well, I don't believe getting impaired every weekend is a big deal. Well, clearly not in your mind. There's people who've got all kinds of ideas of, well, I'd like to think, pick on my mom, was one of my mom's favorite phrases. When she disagreed with my sermon, she'd say, wasn't sure about that, Carl. You know, I'd like to think. And I said, that's the problem, Mom. You'd like to think. You know? Settle down. I love her. It's all good. But you know, you are always sharing knowledge. You are always figuring things out in your inner world. And your conscience, if the blood of Jesus hasn't been applied to your conscience, it's trouble. It's trouble. But the blood of Jesus has the ability to go right in that area and cleanse you and deliver you from anything that is not in agreement with God. Settle down. Settle down. The conscience is more a window than it is a judgment mechanism. It's more a window. It's more a window. Biblically, it functions like this. It lets light in, it frames reality, and it determines what feels true. That's your conscience. The problem is a lot of people, the window is very dirty, or it has nonsense written on it, or it hasn't been cared for or attended to. And therefore, we go into things and our behavior sometimes isn't the best because we've convinced ourselves that that's okay. You know, I'd like to think that that's not such a big deal. But you see, when we do that, it's a problem. So we got to deal with our conscience. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Who's tracking with me so far? All right, good, good. So your conscience doesn't create truth. It reflects the light it's been exposed to. So if it's shaped by fear, God looks distant. If people are teaching you, God is holy, he's kind of moody, and if you do anything wrong, he will turn his face from you. I mean, if you hear that kind of teaching, you're gonna frame God as this touchy, finicky guy that, you know, you can only hang out with him if you're perfect. And you see, that kind of shared knowledge will affect how you relate to God. The only fear you should ever have of God is he's awesome. He is tremendous. He is amazing. He is really big. He's huge. With a word, he can speak things into existence. And I think that's awesome. But perfect love drives out all fear. And God is perfect love. And so if somebody's been sharing fear with you, you know what you people need? You need the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. My God, that's a really misunderstanding what that is, because God is awesome. He is wonderful. And if I fear him, it's because he is truly awesome. It's not because I'm afraid of him. Shame, you feel guilty, you feel unworthy. I mean, if you feel that, you know, it's beautiful because the blood of Jesus will deal with that. The blood of Jesus will touch that in your conscience. Religion, man, you never ever feel good enough with religion. Religion always, there's just one more thing that you need to do. I mean, you're almost there, but there's just one more thing, Pastor Carl. There's just one more thing you need to do, and that's religion. How many ever been on that treadmill of there's just one more thing? There's just one more thing. And you just think, they think you're in, but there's one more thing. You know what? He did all the things. It's done. It's done. It's done. And we are completely in. Amen. Shared knowledge builds authoritative voices in your head. How many people are hearing voices? You're all hearing voices. And we all do. The one who speaks to you more than anybody else is you. You do. You see, but when you share knowledge, if you've heard something and you come into agreement with that and it's not of God, that will become an authoritative voice in your world and in your mind. And so you have to be careful what it is you agree with. And what's beautiful about the blood of Jesus will always remove and it'll cleanse your conscience from any nonsense that would ever separate you from God. Isn't that great? And you don't do it, he did it. It's the blood of Jesus. Here's the words, you're not enough. I mean, you're not enough. That could be built in you. I'm not enough. And you could have agreed with that. And you could have shared that knowledge in your inner man. And you could always be walking around, I'm not enough. I'm not quite there. There's always more. God's disappointed. God's disappointed. I've had people say, Pastor, I haven't been around for a while. And I was afraid to come back because I thought you were disappointed with me. Well, why would you think that? I've never been disappointed with me. I want you to make it clear right now. I refuse to ever be disappointed with anybody. I have told myself you have no right to be disappointed with anyone. So I could be disappointed for you, but I'm never disappointed in you. But wow, there's people develop narratives and things that affect their relationships. You have conversations with people that never existed, but you framed your relationship based on things that you've shared in your head, in your conscience, shared knowledge. You're not enough. God, you're still distant. I need to try harder. I need to try harder. I want to get closer to God. If you believe you could get closer to God, then somebody who shared knowledge with you that is rubbish. If you think you can get closer to God, somebody shared knowledge with you that is rubbish. There's no realms or stages or levels in God. There's not front row seats and back row seats. There's God. There's his absolute presence, unfiltered, untouched. It's him face to face. It's God. And the same God who's in my face is the same God in your face. And there's nothing, nothing that can separate you from his love. Not even you. But you see, if you've received that in your conscience, I talk to people, they go, yeah, well, Pastor, I kind of believe this. And they believe nonsense. And they've agreed with it. And in their conscious realm, they have shared knowledge that is rubbish, and it's affecting their behavior. You don't have behavior problems. You have a shared knowledge problem. Are you tracking with me? I pray desperately that you would get this today, because this actually is really, really important. This is the difference between the blood of goats and bulls and animals and the difference in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus can cleanse your conscience. I mean, that's what the Bible defines as the big, big difference. It's not just forgive your sin, but it comes as shared knowledge in your experience, and it cleanses you from all the rubbish that keeps you from him. Amen. All right. The battle is not about behavior. It's about your conscience and what you've come to accept as truth. Tommy Miller. Love Tommy Miller. I'm doing a book with Tommy Miller in my small group. It's called Unveiled, and you should come to that group. It's an easy read. It's only about 100 pages long. We're going to read it together, and you're going to be blessed. You need to plug into a small group. Sign up for it right now. Go on your phone right now. Go on to our impact page. Come up to the small group. Go, I'm joining that group. Do it today. Thank you. He said, if you do not recognize that a conscience is the key to freedom, then you'll try to change behaviors. Changing behaviors is the fruit of a defiled conscience. And sadly, the church is masterful at preaching behavior modification. The gospel is not behavior modification. The gospel is God himself entered into our situation. He absolutely, totally identified with us. He died, I died. He was risen, I was risen. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. I am seated at the right hand of the Father. I don't have to die every day because I died once and for all with Jesus Christ. And I've been set free from every entanglement. I'm seated with him, reigning and ruling in absolute rest in his kingdom. $50 is $50. Just got to tell you. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Now this is our boast. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. This is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom. We've done it with our consciences. We've done it with absolute shared knowledge with the Godhead. We've operated out of our union with Christ himself. Our conscience is clear. Our conscience is established. Everything we do flows out of our union with him. We didn't do it through manly wisdom or some other nonsense or try this, try that. We did it with a clear and a pure conscience. And our boast is that our conscience testifies. We relied not on worldly wisdom, but on God's. On God's what? Grace. On God's what? Grace. It's all about the grace of God. It's all about the finished work. 1 Timothy 1:5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and a sincere faith. All of which come from him. All of which. And you see, the blood of Jesus deals with the conscience and brings you into a place of a good shared knowledge. Matthew 16:16 and 17. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, woo! Wow! Yes, yes, yes! Finally! Said Peter, actually he didn't say Peter, he said Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar means son. Simon, son of Jonah. Simon, your lineage is from man. Everything you have has been passed down to you in your lineage and in your heritage. Everything flows out of that. But listen, Simon Bar-Jonah, for once, instead of responding out of your lineage, instead of responding out of flesh and blood, you responded to me with a revelation from the Father. You just, instead of the consciousness that you inherited, instead of the DNA from Jonah, Bar-Jonah, instead of what's been passed to you in your human lineage, you stepped out of that and your consciousness got attached to the Heavenly Father. You shared revelation from the throne. Your consciousness, you just shared consciousness with God the Father. Yes! That's how I'm going to build my kingdom. That's how we're going to establish the church. We're going to bring people into a consciousness. We're going to bring people sanctified and set apart by his own blood who would live out of a shared knowledge and revelation of God himself. Our thoughts absolutely, totally one and corresponding with him. That's what the blood does for you. That's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, push this deep into my heart in Jesus' name. It was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Say flesh and blood. You could have given me a flesh and blood response, but you gave me a God the Father response, which means Simon Bar-Jonah, I'm now going to call you Peter, because Peter, you are a stone. You are a stone that is hewn off the rock. You're a chip off the old block. You are now established and you are walking in the revelation of your Father. That's how we're going to build this thing. We're going to build this thing with people who have had the blood of Jesus applied to their conscience, and all the rubbish shared knowledge will be washed away, and you'll operate with one mind, one heart, one purpose in absolute union with God. And that's how we're going to get this done. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people have come to understand that saying that, you know, flesh and blood can't get to heaven. Well, that's rubbish. There is a resurrected man in heaven right now. His name is Jesus. It is a resurrected body, but it's flesh and blood. So it doesn't mean flesh and blood can't go to heaven. That's not what it means. It means flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. You cannot operate out of the shared knowledge of this world and walk in the reality of the kingdom. If Sarah said it's good because Sarah, she's a believer right there. And that's the truth. You can't operate the realm of flesh and blood and expect to inherit all that the kingdom has for you. You're a child of God, every bit a child of God. It's not about going to heaven. It's about heaven being manifest in your life right now. And that's our job right now. Our job right now is to speak to creation and to operate out of the consciousness of God and command everything in our world to come into alignment so that there would be heaven on earth, and people, when they encounter me, they encounter your belief system. They encounter your shared knowledge. What you believe and what you share knowledge with is what you're expressing. Your behavior is completely linked to your shared knowledge. And when people experience you, they experience your shared knowledge. Wow, that was a lot right there. That was a lot right there. So you cannot embrace God's way of life if your base of shared knowledge is still in Adam. You cannot do it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 again, 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now it is the devil, but this word can also be used as prone to accusation. And if you're living in flesh and blood, if you're living not out of the identity that you got from Christ, and you're letting anything else shape you, you can be prone to accusation. But you see, Jesus became flesh and blood so that he could deliver us from every place in our lives where flesh and blood has been making the call. Any place where you have a fallen shared knowledge or mindset other than what comes from God, he came as flesh and blood to deliver us from flesh and blood, and so that we could come into union with God himself. The Son of Man became the man. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that sons of men could become the sons of God. Just say hallelujah, even if you don't understand it. Because even if you don't understand it, your spirit is jumping up and down saying, woo, I don't get this, but woo. Just keep camping on it, keep pressing it down, and it'll bear fruit. Amen. Flesh and blood, he himself likewise, he did that. He delivered us from every area we're prone to accusation. Genesis 3:11, who told you that? Who told you that? You need to ask that question a lot. There's people who come to me and they say things to me, and I go, who told you that? Well, Pastor, I like to believe blah, 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 blah. I go, who told you that? Because you're sharing knowledge from somewhere. And I just want to know, where'd you get that from? Did you get that from God? Where'd you get that? See, and that was his first question. See, these guys who are absolutely pure, created in the image of God, just like God, able to reproduce him, reflect him, fill the earth with him, they had somebody came along, he said, God's holding out on you. He didn't give you everything you could have. If you eat of this, I mean, then something's going to happen. And something really did happen. But you see, they told them that, you know what, you don't have to live out of God alone as being your shared source. I could give you some insider information. And religion does that all the time. Religious people do that all the time too. I know pastor says this, but you know what? I'd like to think, please stop thinking. And you need to question me. I don't mind you questioning me. I like people asking questions. People go to my small groups and they don't leave with answers. They leave with more questions. Because I want you to have questions. Because who told you that? You need to ask that question a lot. Who told you that? Where's that coming from? Because too often we'll receive nonsense and we'll just embrace it. And you need to know who told you that. It was a question of conscience. It was a question of conscience because something happened to your conscience because you shared knowledge with somebody other than me. And now you've gone and put fig leaves on and you've entered into all kinds of nonsense because you decided that knowledge was something you should embrace. Amen. Amen. Adam chose to embrace shared knowledge from the serpent. From that moment, humanity lived from the shared knowledge that was a lie. And all of us were in Adam. All of us were deluded. All of us shared that delusion and that lie. And that lie kept on telling us that we are distant from God. When God had never left you, always loved you, always pursued you, and was always crazy about you. Is anybody still here? All right. From that moment, humanity lived with the shared knowledge of a lie. Shame, fear, separation became the new normal. Isn't that horrible? Shame, separation, and fear became the new normal. Who would ever want to go to church and expect shame and fear and just accusation? I'm going to go to church today. I don't feel good about myself, but I'm going to go anyway. I mean, are you kidding me? I want to come run into the house of God and just rejoice and know that, you know where you bring your dirty laundry? Right into the throne room. Right into the throne room. Living out of Adam cannot reveal to you the things of God. You have to be refathered. You have to be refathered. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Flesh and blood can't even understand or relate to or embrace the principles and the flow of kingdom in your life. So if you're trying to live out of the shared knowledge of this world, I mean, that's not going to help you. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. So you need to be refathered. We talked about that a couple months ago, being refathered. Well, the blood of Jesus does that. The blood of Jesus refathers you. The blood of Jesus reorients you. The blood of Jesus recalculates every aspect of your life. It recalibrates you to the purpose of God. You are refathered through the blood of Jesus, and you're given a pure conscience. You can now walk in the shared knowledge of the Godhead. It says here, pause, because everybody's running around excited. I don't want to put white out on my computer screen, but anyways. All right, look, we were brought into a new covenant, a new family, a new lineage. See, that lineage couldn't help you. You needed a new lineage. You had a birth problem. You're born in Adam. You have to be born in God. He reproduced a CD. Has anybody ever played a CD? You got a CD at home? Somebody gave me a CD there today. I can't even play that. I don't even have a CD player, you know? But you remember if you got a CD and it had a crack in it, it would kind of skip or make a noise. And if you ever duplicated that, we had towers of duplicators. Remember when we used to sell CDs? We had towers of duplicators. Well, if you duplicated a sermon with a crack in it, that crack got reproduced in every other copy. And every copy was flawed. Well, that's what happened with Adam, because it says Adam then gave birth in his own likeness. Every single one of us, because of Adam, we were all, that crack was reproduced in all of us. And the crack was this: God's not for you. God's angry with you. Go hide, run away, cover yourself, have shame. And that was not God. When sin entered the world, God didn't change, man changed. And what God did by sending his son was, he delivered us from the change and brought us back into the revelation of sonship. That was a lot of work right there. That was a lot of work. So we have a new father. Remember Nicodemus? Remember the pictures? Some people like the pictures. Did you like the pictures? We had Jesus with the knobby knees and Nicodemus. And the only difference was he had a different father. Jesus' father was God. His was humanity. See, if you stay, that's why Jesus said, Nicodemus said, Jesus, I want to be like you. I've observed all you do, and nobody could do what you do if you weren't from God. That's what people should be doing. They should be doing, I want to be like you. And you just say to them, you need to be refathered. You need to have the blood of Jesus applied to your conscience. Because you can be refathered. And you see, that's what Nicodemus says, how do I be like you? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And see, the blood of Jesus is how you are rebirthed and how you are penetrated right to the very core of your being, and you're brought into shared knowledge and shared revelation of your sonship in Almighty God. This is way better than the level of excitement I'm experiencing out here. Okay, settle down. All right. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed it and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. My shared knowledge is personal. Shared knowledge. So I gotta learn stuff then. No, it's not about shared knowledge. It's not about gaining information, because I don't know what I believe, but I know whom I believe in. So the shared knowledge isn't gaining all kinds of stuff and putting it in your head. I'm a little smarter than you because I read a lot about stuff. I study the Bible more than you. So, I'm closer. That's rubbish. I don't know what I believe. I know whom I believe. And every one of us has absolute, pure access to Jesus. Every one of us. It's not about gaining knowledge. It's about accepting that he is a wonderful God, and I know whom I have believed, and I know that he's going to finish what he started in my life. So the single most important question you will ever answer is, who told you that? Turn to your neighbor and say, who told you that? Who told you that? So your life is framed by shared knowledge, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Way too many people. How many people have had stuff happen in their life? Stuff. How many people experience disappointments? You know, those things are trying to share knowledge with your conscience. You have experienced things in your life where they're saying, because of this, your life has changed forever. And you believe that. You shouldn't believe that, because it's not true. There's not a single thing that God can't deliver you from. So no matter what experience, what word, where your past is, what has ever happened to you. I love what Kaylee said. She said, you told me that my sin doesn't shape my future. Like, she got that. My sin does not come with me. Whatever it is, it's back there. It doesn't shape my future. Not only your sin, but all your disappointments, all the things where people sinned against you. Anything that has happened to you that is not from God, it has no life right now unless you let it exist. If you agree that that problem has damaged me forever, then it has. But not because it had the power to, but you gave it the power to because you shared knowledge with that and said, that's the way it is. You just got to push back on yourself right now and say, rubbish. Is this helping anybody? All right, the three people that's helping can stay, the rest you just... We walk by faith, not by our circumstances. senses, your senses, the stuff you saw, felt, heard. I know it was real. I'm not saying it wasn't real. I'm not saying deny the reality of what happened to you. What I'm saying is announce a higher principle. See, the plane doesn't get off the ground because we all say, okay, everybody, that's your pilot speaking. Everybody ready? We're going to fly now. Everybody say, there is no gravity. There is no gravity. There is, everybody has to say it in unison as well. Everybody ready? There is no gravity. There is, look, we're lifting. Oh my God, there is no gravity. There is, no, there's gravity. But you know what? You applied a higher principle. You applied the principle of aerodynamics and lift happened with thrust and boom, you do those things and you will fly. You apply the blood of Jesus and you'll be free. The blood of Jesus will set you free from anything that you did, somebody else did to you, some other crazy circumstance that happened to you that came out of nowhere that does not have power to affect your life. Unless you say it does. Then you have to say to yourself, you have to ask yourself this question, who told you that? Well, I have a brain disorder. Who told you that? You know, first of all, that might be real information, but it's not the truth. Because the truth and knowing the truth and partnering with truth and sharing knowledge with truth will set you free. Truth doesn't set you free, but the knowledge of truth will set you free. Amen. Wow. I don't want to pick on you. I could pick on you, but I won't pick on you because nobody wants to do that. Who told you that? Who told you that? Your life is framed by shared knowledge. We walk by faith, not by sight. The blood of Jesus didn't change God's mind about you. It changed your capacity to know God. That's good right there. Take a picture. The blood of Jesus didn't change God's mind about you. It changed your capacity to know God. It wasn't like God said, oh, okay, the blood of Jesus was shared. Now I'll be nice to you. No, the blood of Jesus was shed so it could change your capacity to know God. And you've experienced, because of the blood of Jesus, you've experienced an absolute complete recalibration. John Crowder says the gospel is not about getting you to behave. It's about waking you up. Baxter Kruger said Jesus has done something to humanity itself. He didn't do something for humanity, although he did. It's more than that. He did something to humanity. Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection did something to us that forever changed us and brought us forever reconciled to the throne of God. Whatever you partner with, you experience. Whatever you partner with, you experience. Your experiences right now are manifesting what you're partnering with. What you're going through right now, you are walking in real, tangible experiences in your life because you have shared experience with something. There's a word spoken or something happened, something very, very real. You know, I jumped off the building and I broke my leg. Okay, well, let's pray for your leg to be healed. No, you don't understand. I jumped off a building and I broke my leg. I know, but let's pray now for your leg to be healed. Can we not apply a higher principle to an event? Can we not apply a higher principle that something that happened to you? Are we victims of senseless things that happens in this world? Or can God deliver us in every circumstance? Oh, I don't know. Your God's pretty cool. I don't have a God like that. That's because you, who told you that? You're sharing knowledge with the wrong people. And you know, here's another thing. You ready? Here's something very, very deep. You don't know what you don't know. Sadly, people who don't know think they know. They actually had a whole group of students, and they already knew who the bright ones were and the not so bright ones. They gave them a test, and all the bright ones came out and said, I'm not sure how good I did on that. And all the not so bright ones came out and said, I think I aced that. It is amazing the confidence that a lack of knowledge creates in people. It's actually proven. It's a proven truth. People who are ignorant are more confident than those who are. That's why people ask me, are you sure? I go, hey, I trust in him, you know. That's it, absolutely. Christianity isn't about certitude in ideas. It's about certitude in the revelation of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's why sometimes you can push back on your ideas or something that got taught to you, because sometimes you need to push back on that. But you know what? He'll never be pushed back on, because he's not a revelation of truth. He is truth. And questioning is okay because it doesn't wreck a single thing. He's still God, even if you question, is that really you? And sometimes you need to question, was that really you? We'll talk about that next week with the voice of God. That experience frames and shapes a reality. That reality becomes what people experience when they encounter you. When I encounter you or you encounter me, you are encountering my shared knowledge. When you meet me and say, hey, Pastor Carl, whatever comes out of me right then comes right out of my shared knowledge. And everything you've agreed with is manifesting in your life right now. What you give to people every day is a culmination of all the areas where you think you have shared knowledge. And we should make sure that our shared knowledge is Him. And that I insist, I apply the blood of Jesus to my conscience. Jesus, apply your blood to my conscience. If there's any area in my conscience where I share knowledge with something that's not you, I ask the blood to deliver me from that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The reality becomes what people experience when they experience you. I'm coming to a rapid close. Let all the sad people say amen. No sad people. Wow. Dead works are not just sinful actions. It says it will deliver you from dead works. Deliver you from dead works. Dead works are not just sinful actions. They are sincere efforts disconnected from the life of God. Dead works. There's works. There's good works. There's also dead works. Prayer is good. Prayer is good. Prayer is good. We're a couple slides behind there. We got to keep moving there and move ahead. See, you know. Oh, no, we're not. That one is, but this one's not. Sorry about that. Technical difficulty. Prayer is good until you use it to get close to God. Oh, that's a head tilter. See, if you think prayer gets you closer to God, you don't understand that you can't get any closer to God. If you're doing prayer and adding up, I prayed a lot, therefore I'm close to God. No, He did it all, therefore you're close to God. So prayer is good. Because through prayer, I unpack deeper understanding and revelation. Through prayer, I unite my consciousness with His. Through prayer, I enjoy Him and He enjoys me. He shares His dreams with me. I share my dreams with Him. Together, we're partnering for things in the earth and in the world together. I'm traveling through the world, flying in the stratosphere, cursing that, commanding that, blessing this. And it's awesome and it's good. But it doesn't get me closer to God. So if you've turned prayer into a good work, you don't understand prayer and you don't understand God. Fasting is good. If you fast too long because it's a hunger strike, you will die. God doesn't respond to hunger strikes. Fasting does not change God. I am God and I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same on the first day of a fast, the third day of a fast, the 10th day of a fast, the 50th day of a fast. Fasting will change you. It'll give you insight. It'll cause you to put aside flesh and blood, can't inherit the kingdom. So it can put you in a place where spiritually you're tuning yourself and saying, I want the flesh to shut up and I'm going to pay attention to God. Because you know what? There's no panic in heaven. There's only plans. And I want to align myself with His plans. But if you think fasting makes you more acceptable to God, it's become a dead work in your life. Is everybody okay? What a tough crowd today. Stephen, tough crowd today. All right, sons feast, slaves negotiate. We always think it's a negotiation with God. I got to get something from God. So, God, I'll give you an hour of prayer. How much do I get for that? I don't know. What are you praying about? We think that somehow we're in negotiation with God. You know, let's make a deal, God. I'll give you four of these, two of those. I'll do a 10-day fast and you'll change my world, right? No, I changed your world 2,000 years ago. Who the Son set free is free indeed. It says, I will give you wisdom without finding fault. Freely I will give you wisdom. Freely you will receive. But you want to turn all those beautiful disciplines that will help you into some way of becoming closer to me? It's a dead work, Carl. It's dead. And something that's precious, something is beautiful, you just turns it into something awful. Sons feast, slaves negotiate. The heartbreak of religion is that it can take the most precious, holiest things and make them instruments of self-righteousness. You could have taken a picture of that and you could have put it out on X and people would have thought you were smart. Do you want me to go back? Did I say I'm coming to a rapid conclusion? Is this helping anybody? The tabernacle said, stay out. The tabernacle said, you cannot come close. But the blood of Jesus says, come all the way in and bring your mind with you. Come all the way in. You are no longer living from borrowed lies. You are now living from shared knowledge with God. All right? Living works, it's a flow from union. Living works. See, there's dead works and there's living works. Every living work flows out of your union with him, not of you trying to get union with him, but out of the revelation. It's not for acceptance, it's from acceptance. It's not for identity, it's from identity. It's not to get close, it's because you are already close. Grace doesn't eliminate works. Grace resurrects them to a place where they'll really have power and influence in your life. All right, Revelation 12, 10, and 11. This is it. Wrapping it up. Say amen. That was a bit strong, Daryl. It was a bit strong. NASCAR today, Daryl, NASCAR. Yes, sir. Revelation 12, 10, 11. The enemy, the devil, Lucifer, Sleuthfoot, the slanderer, the accuser, the categorejo, always putting labels on you. He accused them before God day and night. He has been cast down. Where is he? Cast down. He's been cast down. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb applied to our lives goes deep down and it deals with our conscience. It cleanses the window that lets light into our souls. It cleanses that place so that now, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, I now speak in agreement with God. I operate out of the shared knowledge of God. I operate. We came to you and we ministered to you out of a pure conscience. Paul said, we came and we spoke to you and we're absolutely confident in what we did because we did it out of shared knowledge with God. This is really good, Pastor. Oh my God, this is good. This is so good. Holy moly. Like, wow. I actually, this whole series, I did this series watch to get to this sermon. Sarah, I'm gonna have to sit you right on the platform whenever I preach now, all right? Just, you're gonna have to help people. People don't know what to do. So they don't know what to do. All right. And the word of their testimony did not, I don't love my own life. I'm not gonna cling to flesh and blood as the source of anything. I'm gonna thrust out flesh and blood. I'm gonna thrust out every false, stupid thing I've ever embraced to shape my life. And I'm gonna live out a conscience that's cleansed by the blood. And I agree with every living word of God. Can I get an amen? Because I am finished. I might have needed the other 50 slides. You know what I mean? I might have needed it. I told Cheryl this morning, I said, I was deleting so many slides. This was probably a 4-part sermon, and I'm trying to do it in 40 minutes. Lord have mercy.